is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
You guys got to relax because Adam Gase is not going anywhere. It's Carlin right here on 98.7 ESPN, New York. We have got a lightning round show, which means you get involved early, and we will get you involved throughout. That means get on the open lines right now at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Whatever you want to discuss, be it the Giants getting ready for the Chicago Bears on Sunday, we're certainly delving into the Jets to start with. We have our locks of ignorance, our NFL picks that are not based in fact whatsoever. They are simply based in what I find to be a fascinating piece of information regarding the city that I am picking to win. We will get to those in just a few moments. But again, 800-919-3776 and over on Twitter at Chris Carlin. We will get to your comments very, very shortly. We all have to realize that Adam Gase is going to be the head coach of the New York Jets for the 2020 season. That may not be the sentence that you want to hear, but the sooner you come to accept it as the truth, the better it will be for you. And when you have the owner of the team come out the other day, the very same owner that hired this coach just slightly over a year and a half ago, and say that he is a brilliant offensive mind, and he is somebody that is a better coach than the fans give him credit for. You have to get that he is not going to be making any change anytime soon. This was not your run-of-the-mill vote of confidence. The kiss of death vote of confidence, for that matter. What this was an owner backing up his own decision from a year plus ago. Are you happy about it? Probably not. I have never been one that has believed that Adam Gase was the answer for the Jets. Not once did I think that was the right move. I've told you time and again, my big problem with hiring the coach that just got fired is you are, in essence, telling that coach he did nothing wrong in getting fired. So with that in mind, you have to understand that as you're trying to move forward and figure out exactly what the future of the Jets is going to hold, it's going to be based solely in one department, and that's the quarterback. I told you the other night, I was discussing the idea that I don't think Sam's the guy because I haven't seen enough progress and I know what he doesn't have around him. But what I do know is that he also is a quarterback that is in his third year and has played 27 games and has not gotten better. Okay, we can examine all the different reasons why he hasn't gotten better. We heard from Dan Orlovsky yesterday, who I thought was absolutely phenomenal. And listen, I'm here to sell it too, but I'm telling you, go back and check it out on the podcast, because Dan yesterday, we stuck to every question based in Darnold with one exception, and his breakdown on Darnold in this discussion was absolutely phenomenal. So with that being the case, as you look at Darnold and you try to evaluate him, yes, you have to take all of the factors into account. But you also have to look at why the head coach was brought here. And that was to develop the quarterback, as we know. Last year, Adam Gase was doing his weekly spot with on the Michael Kay Show. And I was filling in that day and talking with him along with Peter about just different things later in the year, how he evaluates quarterbacks and how he looks at statistics with quarterbacks. And I asked him, what statistics actually do count in your mind when you're trying to see if your quarterback is improving, when you're evaluating a quarterback? And he said two things, red zone and third down. Okay, red zone and third down statistics. Okay, and I remembered that today when we were when I was kind of mulling over what I was going to talk about here. Red zone under Adam Gase for Sam Darnold has gotten much worse. Third down under Adam Gase for Sam Darnold has gotten worse. In 2018, his rookie year, in the red zone, he had 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a quarterback rating of 95.7. That's pretty impressive. In 2019, his second year, in his first year with Gase, he had 12 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and that quarterback rating went down to 65. He had 4 red zone interceptions last year in 13 games. We're not even talking about fumbles or anything like that. So it went from 95.7 all the way down to 65. Last week, 1 of 3, 5 yards. Third downs, 2018. Threw for 727 yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 picks. Completion right in the low 50s. A quarterback rating of 78. Certainly not great by any stretch. That kind of number looks like a rookie-type number. The numbers since under Adam Gase, a quarterback rating of 69. 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions on third down. These numbers are the ones that the head coach deems important, and they have gotten worse. So while we are all sitting here talking about how patient Jet fans are being and how patient they have been, and they're sick of patience and all that, if you don't believe that Adam Gase is the guy, and you have every reason to believe that to be the case, you need to just pay attention to one thing the rest of the season. Don't worry about what he doesn't have. Don't worry about anything else when it comes to the quarterback. Is he getting better in those areas that the head coach deems the most important? That's what you need to know. So if you can do that, if you can honestly look at this situation and give Gase, I'm not saying give him a chance, but at least open your mind, forget about, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but forget about wins and losses, but really just focus on the quarterback, because we all know you don't have a great team this year. You just need to know if this is the guy and if the head coach is actually capable of developing him. That's the only important thing right now. The Jets are not winning the Super Bowl. The Jets are not going to the playoffs. The Jets don't have the personnel to do any of that. They traded away their best defensive player. Their second best defensive player opted out of the season and has played 2 games for the team in 2 years. There is a lot to do moving forward, and they have the cap room to do it, and they have the right general manager in place to do it. That general manager is not going to fire a head coach in the middle of the season because the fans are screaming for it. So while you're all frustrated with Gase, and I'm frustrated watching Gase too, understand there's only one thing that matters. Those numbers have gone down. The ones that he deems important, they have to get better. John in the truck phone will start us off. John, what's cooking?
Hey, Chris, love the show. I just got a quick point on Gase. I think right now we all know that these teams are toys for these owners. Woody went away, took a vacation, like, let's say, he lent his little brother his toy. He said, don't mess it up. And he's watching from across the pond, and he's saying, oh, my God, what did you do to my toy? So he's gotten rid of all the talent. They have nobody developing Sam Darnold, and they have no weapons for him to throw to. It's just basically, I think Woody's looking at it like, okay, at the end, in come November, I might be out of a job. I'll be coming back, so don't break my toy anymore.
Yeah, I don't know that how that's all going to go down. You know, I would think that Christopher is still going to be involved, and he kind of hinted at that the other day, that he would be involved still in a very senior role with the team if Woody comes back. But having said all of that, and thanks for the call, John, more importantly right now You have to think about just getting this football team better and not worried about when the owner's coming back and who's going to be doing that. Right now, this owner that's here is not firing the head coach. And this general manager that's here is not firing the head coach. That's very clear. And it was made abundantly clear the other day. All they are looking for right now, is he going to get the quarterback better? Sean in Queens, next, 98.7. Sean, what's up?
Chris, what's up, buddy? So I just want to say I congratulate you for being part of the power shift in sports radio in New York. You were kind enough to send me a shirt once upon a time, a long time ago, for one of my points that I made. No pressure. Hopefully, hopefully I'm worthy this time as well. But the reason why I'm calling is at the end of the show before, you were talking to Don and Peter about how Met fans should not worry about what's going on too much with the season. It's more about what's going on with this vote. It's more important of what the future of the Mets is really basically in the next week. And I've been kind of drilling that point home to my friends, since the season started. I'm like, listen, I never want to lose, but this is the same mess it's been for the last, I'm 46. It's been a mess with a couple of bright spots, but a mess. And I'm just excited that we're kind of like there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And I just want to say to all Mets fans, congratulations. And it's going to be I'm excited. And I think we're going to be in good shape.
You just want to get the vote through and you just want to get it approved, Sean. And thanks for the call. And the point about it is simple. If you get the new owner in place, it's been a successful year. And that's it. That's it. Because even if you went and did something and won or went on a good run for the postseason this year, everybody's going to look at you and say, oh, well, it was just a 60-game year. It means nothing anyway. Nobody's going to take it seriously. So why bother? All right. It is time for our locks of ignorance. Here's the deal on the locks of ignorance. As I have decided to do, and I announced this last week, my picks over the last several years have been nothing short of atrocious. I have tried to pick the games analytically and from every smart which way that I would know how, and I am consistently wrong. Then one year, I pulled the Costanza and went with the opposite. That didn't work. So this year, I am not basing my NFL picks in anything fact-related to the game. I am simply going to look up some obscure type of fact or something about the teams and just make the decision based solely on that. And I went 2-1 last week in our first round of locks of ignorance. So here we go. Giants and the Bears. Bears are 5.5-point favorites at Soldier Field. Did you know that Joseph Bonaparte, former king of Spain and older brother to Napoleon, had an estate in Bordentown, New Jersey? Give me the Giants plus 5.5. Did you know when we talk about the San Francisco 49ers-Jets game, with the Niners being 7-point favorites, that in 1867, San Francisco instituted the U.S.'s first ugly law prohibiting ugly people from showing their faces in public. Now, it's since been repealed, but I love the Niners just for that fact, -7. And lastly, I will take the Minnesota-Indianapolis game. The Colts are 3-point favorites. Did you know that the state of Minnesota produces more turkeys each year than there are people in California? That's impressive, and I like turkey. Give me the Vikings plus 3. Those are your locks of ignorance for week 2. We bring in Alan Hahn to prepare us for game 6 of the Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Are you on pins and needles right now?
A little bit of anxiety, I would say. I mean, I keep pushing this button too because, it's the first time they've won multiple conference finals games since 1984. Like the 93 now, they're past that because they were out in 5 games in 93.
Yeah, the conference final was a mess. They never had a chance in
that. They had so worn out in the previous series, and they lost. It was like, I think 2 or 3 were in overtime they lost to Montreal and Patrick Roy. But, so now you're pushing it like, well, this is now the most important game since, right? And, well, that's what this keeps being. Because, as you know, if you can somehow pull this game out, now it's equal pressure on both teams. it's still win two while they have to win one. But if you get this one, I have a feeling this is going to be a soccer game. I really do. I think it's...
Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Okay? They were up 3-1. Have the Islanders, by virtue of winning that game the other night, just kind of turned the tables here a little bit in terms of the pressure?
I think what you'll...
a little bit on the Lightning.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I still say if you have it, if you need two, you know, two games to win one is better than having to, you're facing elimination. But will you get maybe a little more urgency out of Tampa tonight? I do think so. So I think that's what you're watching for is the teams that are playing. There's going to be a lot more urgency because they don't want to get to a seventh game. You know, John Cooper, the Lightning coach, basically made it sound like they gifted game five, that they got this lucky break. They score in overtime and they gave them that win. So maybe that's the case. But I'll tell you what, if the Islanders don't score a power play goal tonight, there's no chance they're winning this game. I'll be shocked if there's a game seven if they can't score a power play goal tonight.
Okay, Varlamov tonight.
Yeah.
Your level of confidence, scale of 1 to 10.
He's always, to me, been a steady 7. I think next season is why I think the Islanders actually can build off this, because the goaltender they'll be bringing in next year, their white whale, this is their Garrett Cole. When they get him going, I think that upgrades that position. But you got to get the – he's been fine. He hasn't been great. I'll tell you what. He hasn't stolen them a game yet in the playoffs. Maybe tonight's the night.
It's going to have to be, right? And yeah. Look, the other thing I would look at, too, is what did they have, 20 shots on goal through three periods the other night or whatever?
Wasn't enough. Right.
I mean, how are they going to create some more offense here?
Well, they have to. They have to basically shoot the puck. I know that sounds very elementary, but I'm telling you, I mean, Chris, that's the issue. Power plays, for the most part, when you're a hockey fan, when your team's on the power play, you get excited. Islander fans get angry. You get frustrated. You get mad because you're watching something and you're thinking to yourself, the concept is to shoot the puck, right? The whole idea of this is you have more players than they do, which means you should shoot the puck on net. And they seem to look for the perfect shot. That might be credit to the defense, but I think it's more of a mentality that they feel like they're trying too hard to get the perfect shot. Get pucks on net. Get bodies in front of the net. These are the types of games you have to win ugly. The question is, can the Islanders win ugly?
We have 30 seconds. I'll need two answers to these two questions. Number one, to keep my attention there with everything going on tonight, I'm going to have to put a little something on it. So where are we with that? And the other night, when the Islanders went to overtime, I got a plus 160 value right there. Mm. If this game goes to overtime, can they actually win it again?
Yes. Yes. On the overtime part, I absolutely think that if they get there, then you'll really feel like Tampa's going to feel like they're going to tighten up. The pressure's going to be all on them.
And do the Islanders win tonight?
I'm going to say no. I just don't feel. I feel like game five was their game. I just think Tampa's going to know that it's time. Urgency time. Shut this thing down and move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. The Islanders are very close. I'm not sure they're that close yet.
All right. Thanks for ruining everything for everyone tonight.
Still worth watching, baby.
Enjoy it. Thanks, brother.
You got it, man.
Alan Hahn with some last-minute insights. We have got Islanders hockey coming up next. It is Game 6 Eastern Conference Finals from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Great job out of the backbone of the show, Nikki Hartman. Great job out of Joel Pollack as well.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.